The amount of barriers between sharing of data between agencies is actually very substantial. So that reports typically that would combine data from different agencies take years, if not many years, to put together. Suddenly agencies are now putting together reports in the matter of weeks or less, because the data is made available in more open formats, readily accessible and digestible. So I think that's better.
You made a point here at IRMCO in your session talking about so often agencies say, okay, I'm not going to release the data until it's completely fact-checked and all checked out. But you actually say that may not be always the best idea.
I don't think it is the best idea. Data almost certainly are guaranteed to contain errors, and they're not always errors on purpose. They're accidental. There are many things that are omitted because we didn't know of later uses of the data. And so one of the things that we should do is more eyes on the data, more programs and analysis that are done on the data help us understand and improve the quality of the data. Thus, it should be viewed as an advantage to put data out. And scientists have actually done this for a very large number of years, is put data out, errors are found, and the scientists are grateful that the errors are found because ultimately they improve the understanding both of the data or of the scientific process being studied.
But you also argue that there's a difference between data and information.
That's correct. Data is really just a bunch of bits and bytes and does not really become useful until it's turned into some form of information or information product, and that fundamentally requires being given a context. For example, the number 37 doesn't mean anything to anyone until I tell you that attached to it is a unit called Fahrenheit. And suddenly becomes a useful piece of information which you could interpret in your current context.
So, and that almost seems to be the challenge that a lot of, at least federal agencies are facing right now, is how do they put, they're almost afraid to put that information out because the context can, people can take the context in all sorts of different directions.
They can, and one of the challenges is that often the important pieces of context, often called use metadata, that go with the data is often disconnected from the data itself. So for a very large number of cases, people get data without this very important contextual metadata that goes with it. When you go back further to the raw data, it's even more true because most of that additional metadata is added in by people with programs that only appear in later versions of the data product. And thus you have this disconnection that you've got going on. So it's easy to misuse it, not intentionally again, but accidentally. And so one of the challenges is actually for people to propagate this contextual information across all versions of the data, so that even if it shows up later on, it's tied to the original raw data.
One of the other points that you made that was just fascinating was we're still only really at the, if you're Googling something, you're only getting the top level. There's still so much more information out there that's almost still inaccessible.
That's absolutely correct. We call it the deep web. And it's not that information is not available or on the web, but it's behind a programmatic interface that regular people through conventional search engines are not able to penetrate. The search engine community is starting to dig, slowly scratch into those slightly deeper sources of information. But by and large, you need specialized knowledge, often specialized software to be able to go in and query that, and sometimes even credentials and or access information to be able to get access to it.
But nowadays, when we're talking about, I mean, I feel sometimes like I'm swimming in data, almost drowning in data these days. And if there's even more data out there, and we're talking about connecting the dots, also that some to some people would sound pretty scary.
It is scary if you deal only with data. But going back to the discussion of adding context to convert that data into information, you actually reduce the information space and the volume that you have to deal with. Quite often when people are dealing with vast amounts of data, they don't have sufficient context and narrowing of the information space to answer the questions that they're asking. And so we have yet to put the data in forms, for example, information products forms in the form of graphical analysis. It's very well known that the reduction in volume of data, that's represented in a graphic representation is something between 1,000 to 1 or 10,000 to 1. So you can visualize large amounts of data in one single information product and convey enormous amounts of information and, in fact, gain understanding and knowledge. And that's where we have not had enough attention.
This has to be an incredibly exciting time. I mean, with data.gov and a UK equivalent in a lot of countries, Australia's working in this. Are there best practices out there right now? Are there lessons to be learned from each of these individual countries and the direction that they're going in?
Yes, there are, fortunately. There are many examples of best practices, both at the national level. There are best practices at the international project levels. There are programs such as the Group on Earth Observations has a set of best practices related to data sharing, related to web services for access to data, and cataloging standards. The challenge really is that those best practices haven't percolated broadly into either the public view or a broad community view. That's still happening. And I think there's, because of this greater awareness and very exciting time that we're seeing right now, it's just a matter of time before these best practices really start to become visible.
But it still seems to me part of the discussion that's going on, at least in this country, is people don't trust that data getting out there. They're still afraid of that misuse of information or of data. They still don't buy that if they put it out there, it gets better.
Yes, and that's a culture change. That's an inherent attribute, I think, of the human condition. There's always this idea to protect. And early on, the human condition changed from one of protecting to sharing, and that was the original idea of commons, that there was a size of a collective effort that was actually greater than the sum of the individual parts. It was in the best interests of having a commons. Now, for various reasons, commons around physical things don't scale very well. We're seeing that now. But because information commons involves digital artifacts and the barriers to sharing it are significantly different from physical artifacts, there's an increasing realization that a commons approach to this, the value provided by many people, dissemination and sharing of data and information actually provides a greater value and benefit for everybody. Again, there are isolated communities who've demonstrated that in a very substantial way. The biomedical community is very far ahead in this area. Other areas of both science and medicine are still starting to catch up. And I think governments are starting to catch up as well, because traditionally, government data and information has had to be protected because of issues of security or threat, or in fact, just the return on investment has to be retained for the value of that country. Governments probably need to get to a state where they too also participate in information commons.